The Guardian.
My name is Thomas Leverett, and I'd like to read from The Exchange Rate Between Love and Money, a novel set in 2003 in Sarajevo against the backdrop of Reconstruction after the Bosnian War. Our hero is Bannerman, who's just met what he realises is the love of his life, Claire, who unfortunately is going out with his best friend, Frito. And that's pretty much how the expat scene plays for Bannerman. At cocktail parties, dinners, gigs, farewell bashes at City Pub, embassy receptions of one flavour or another, always in permutations drawn from a pool of maybe 50 simpatico first worlders, of whom Claire Leishman is overwhelmingly his favourite. A slow underwater grace takes them both. He anyway feels like an elite conversationalist. The jokes are effortless and light-hearted, and always pressing up against the walls of what's acceptable. It's a welcoming scene. Memory and judgment smudged by all the excellent and cheap alcohol, everyone living in the same acre of city and not disinclined to physical companionship. Life in Sarajevo quickly becomes a motion blur of people hanging on to decades-long adolescences. Relationships form and dissolve with college intensity. Couples go up to Park Princeva restaurant for sundowners over the city and wave at the couples at the neighbouring two tables, all six having been there before in a different combination. It's a campus, and that's family enough. All stiffened by high daytime ideals and a weirdness that never really goes beyond the eccentric. Like this Danish character, Jørgen, from the Office of the High Representative, who's decided Bannerman's going to be the recipient this year, all year, of his observation on women. "See this girl here?" Dragging him away. "I think she is aviation blonde, yes? You know what this is? Yellow hair, black box. Yes, you think so?" Elbowing him keenly. "Colour scheme of hazard signs," says Bannerman. And for a few weeks reluctantly fending off Claire Leishman, mornings at the literally Byzantine apartment he now shares with Frito above the Turkish quarter, Claire comes into the breakfast room, all shower-fresh hair and a grin that lets you know it's been freshly fucked. "Sleep well," she says, knowing full well that Bannerman has lain awake all night watching the light bulbs swing. "Morning, Banno," Frito sweeping through with a hunk of toast in his mouth, peeling off some 100 km notes for Claire. "Mate, would you mind driving Claire to work? Got to go see a man about a dog." And out the door again, leaving him alone with her eyes. And little respite outside in the city, because there seem to be three or four Claire Leishmans now, at least one at every party he goes to and all speaking different languages. Brief floodlit moments of mascara and killer smile before glancing away again, dissolving into chit-chat. Nothing more than torturing him, and not only because she can. It seems to be a genuine pleasure for her, stretching in front of him first thing in the morning, holding her hair up so he can clasp necklaces before parties, making sure she is seen again and again in improbable places, glowing from within her constellation of freckles, fingertips like butterflies across Bannerman's back as she insinuates herself into his conversational circle. Some quick-fire exchange of sass between them before Bannerman can move out of range and try and disinfect his heart with alcohol, but she's already somewhere else when he arrives, gloss lips wide open and laughing at another man's joke. Oh, come on. Frito's his best friend. Bannerman makes listless attempts to console himself with other girls that collapse with spectacular damage to everyone's ego, but it always comes back to Claire. She's the golden thread. Every evening his eyes scan for freckles in the promenade. He cannot stop from doing it, and his heart lurches before he even knows what he's seeing. Oh, just a Bosnian girl. Freckles. Hijab on. 17, tops. When the real Claire's lashes flick up with a clang, he is twice as alive, twice the data between them. In her every hint of eyebrow semaphore which he implicitly understands, and which she understands that he understands. And so, in not too many days, after a going-away party at which he watched Frito treat her with an indifference bordering on scorn, he'll sit up all night in the window room of their apartment over Bashashia, smoking and watching the city valley and its galaxy of streetlights fade to nothing under the dawn's maybe 3 inches of snow. Muezzins will call the morning in, hatchbacks and trams will clang along Marshal Tito Street, and he'll contemplate his monochrome world. Dead black trees on the white slopes, white carapaces on a chaos of Ottoman brickwork, grades of cast iron and steel, a nobility of minarets and tower blocks undulating into the hazy western distance, and the roof of every building blessed with snow in the night, transfigured by the white of peace. Or ceasefire, anyway. Fuck it. Reckoning his odds at 40%, and even though just the attempt will end his friendship with Frito, he'll finally give up not trying to get her. He's going to move in on his best friend's girlfriend. Contemplating this most taboo of betrayals with that special equanimity given by the last cigarette in the pack, smoked at dawn, which soon he'll stub out and head to bed, and wake up after lunch, stretching like a dog, and feeling absolutely awesome.
For more discussion and analysis, download Guardian Daily. That's The Guardian's news podcast, available first thing in the morning, Monday to Friday.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.